That's crazy. So, World of Warcraft, yeah. 30 million, Tom.
Okay, your strategy can take 50 million. Our job is to get you those 50 million the minute you've proven that you really are fit for it. We believe in a world where the rich do not get richer just because they stop rich. Our setup is open, that the exchange is open because anybody can be both a trader as well as an investor. I mean, I always do this analogy because I think it's quite a valid one, in that the first 10 winners of the Wimbledon tennis tournament were noble. And of course, those guys thought that it took nobility to be a good tennis player. But it's like, well, you know, who else would win it if only the noble are playing it, right?
Makes sense, though. It's like if that's the only group that's allowed to play, of course, it's going to create a barrier. What's up, traders? Welcome back to the Day Trading Show. I'm your host, Austin Silver. I really appreciate you being here. I'm sitting down today with my co-host, Tom Jackson, and our special guest, Juan Colon. Juan is the CEO of DarwinX and DarwinX Zero. I really love what DarwinX is doing. They're really filling a gap in the trading industry that is different from what all these prop firms and funding companies are doing. Juan is really a big believer in building a long-term track record. So what we do is dive deep into what some of his best traders on the platform are doing. We talk about how some of these guys have attracted millions of dollars in investor capital, all by just becoming really great traders. In fact, we talk about the best trader on their platform who used to be the best World of Warcraft player in the entire world and now has transitioned into trading from Finland and is crushing it with millions of dollars under management. So if you're looking on how to scale your trading business, if you're looking to see what are the biggest traders with real track records doing well, stay through to the end of this episode. Juan shares a ton of great analogies, a ton of great statistics. You're going to love it. So make sure you stay through, make sure you're subscribed. And if you want to join DarwinX or try out the DarwinX Zero platform, we've got links in the description for that. So thank you to Juan and the team at DarwinX for making this happen. Now let's get into the podcast. I hope you're enjoying today's video. Just want to give a shout out to the sponsor, Top One Trader. If you're looking to get funded, I've got a link and a discount code for you down below that's going to save you big bucks on your next funding challenge. So thank you to Top One, and let's get back to the video. Traders, welcome back to the podcast. Today, I am joined virtually by two very special guests. Tom Jackson is back in the hot seat. Tom, it's been a while since we've had a podcast. And we are joined today by the CEO of DarwinX, Juan Colon. Juan, did I say your last name correctly?
Yeah, it's fine. It means Columbus in Spanish. Colon, yes.
Cool. We'll take it. Well, it's good to have you on. And Tom, it's good to see you. I'm really looking forward to this, guys. I think the audience is going to love this conversation because Darwin, whether it's DarwinX Zero or DarwinX as a whole, really has just grown immensely. I mean, you said since DarwinX Zero came out a year ago, Juan, basically a year ago last March, you 4X'd in size, which is incredible. So we're going to get into the nitty gritty of what DarwinX is, because I'm sure there's some listeners still that are living under a rock a little bit that maybe don't know what DarwinX can do for the trading community. And I'm really excited to share your story, your background, and what you guys can provide to the community here in today's episode. So let's begin, if we can. Juan, can you kind of just introduce us to yourself? And I know we were just talking before we started the recording, you said you and your two brothers are working in the company and you guys are based in Madrid, but kind of give us an overview of who you are and how you got into DarwinX and how you started DarwinX.
Okay, I think we should have my other brother at some point, so then he's English. He's a bit shyer than me, but I think today I'm here in my capacity as elder brother to my brother Javi. And Javi is what the world would still describe as a retail trader. Retail because he didn't have big bucks, not because he was had a small brain. So he had been trading for like several years in futures and FX in 2005 or six, when he quit his day job as a civil engineer. And he built a pretty good track record after 3 or 4 years of trading. At that point said, hey, you know, I love this trading thing. I'd love to make a living out of this. And then he started sort of gathering some friends and family money. He already realized, this is not my thing. What I like is trading. I don't want to be pitching to people or advising on which mortgage to take. There's more and more money coming through the door. And this thing is a regulated activity to manage third-party money. So I'm going to knock at the Spanish regulator's door. It's like, knock, knock. I'm a civil engineer and I don't have a background in finance and I want to manage third-party money. And then you can imagine where that ended. He sort of figured, look, you know, there's broadband everywhere. And what makes someone is not the size of his wallet That doesn't make you professional. What makes you professional is your persistence and your continuous improvement, as Tom would tell you, and so on. And the world just hasn't noticed yet, right? So I'd love a place where I could trade and someone else handled the rest, and the rest being attracting investors, getting the, you know, supporting those investors, liaising with everything has to do with back office accounting regulation, this, I mean, the entire lot. And thus was born the concept of DarwinX, right? I mean, you trade your best, and if that's good enough, because you have to prove that against Darwinian odds, that's why it's called DarwinX, then we handle the rest, right? So yeah, the company, this was, he had the embryo of that idea in 2011. This thing has been awfully expensive to get going, because you have to be regulated, you have to build a ton of technology and so on. And that's where I came in. So my background is in traditional finance. I had worked for banks in London. And before this, I had my own personal twist at the time with my wife is a diplomat. So I was kind of figuring out what to do with my life. So I kind of got quite a bit of money together with from my partners. And they said, yeah, we'll fund this thing if you come in to help in the beginning. And the beginning is, it's been 11 years. And actually 12 years it'll be in March this year, and I'm still around, right? So we've gone, we've gone to hell and back, and then to hell again. But it's going well now. So
that's a great story. That's a great understanding for kind of like your background and where you and your brother saw. Really, it sounds like a hole in the industry of like, I am a retail trader doing well, and I want to attract investors, but I don't want to deal with all like the salesmanship and all that stuff. So that's kind of what you guys created, basically. It sounds like, is that basically spot on?
Yeah, well, I mean, the sales is actually the easy part. I think the one thing that is kind of coping with the regulation and the reporting, and like, just, you have no idea. You don't want to do that to yourself. I mean, I think there's some industry estimates that basically say below 40 to 50 million assets under management, there's just no viable way to run a regulated fund activity. The fact is, you can make good money by charging for success for, you know, 10 million euros or something like that. So there's this gap where the system is just not designed for this new retail thing.
Absolutely.
As it has created, yeah.
Absolutely. So Tom, because you introduced our community to DarwinX, how did you find them? Like, what were you looking for?
So I think I stumbled across it just through sort of social media, and I was just intrigued with the concept, because it was completely different to what we see around, or what we did see around, as like the funding firms that we were looking at. I was exploring other ways to get funded, because we had the My Forex Fund situation when we lost the funding through that. That's what led me to go down and look and explore different avenues. Can I attract private capital? Can I do use my own personal capital? What other options are out there? So that's when I stumbled across, like I say, DarwinX, and the concept just made so much more sense to me for those looking for the longer term, a very professional outlook. It looks like the regulations favored traders that were looking to build a sustainable business for the long term and build that relationship. I think the thing that like really stood out to me is the fact that you kind of play like the middleman part of, so the trader can just focus on trading, but then attracting the money and managing them is a completely different skill. The two different skills, managing people and then managing a trading system, is two different. And I thought that was fantastic. And that's, like I say, what led me to explore it deeper and further.
I love that. So Juan, could you share, what's the core values?
Thanks so much.
What would be the core values or the mission statement of DarwinX?
I think, I mean, the way we define success and the core metric that we maximize in the company is the money we pay out to traders. And the reason I think it's a great metric is because it sort of highlights the virtuous circle that we're trying to create, in that the better the traders, the more investor capital we attract, and the more investor capital, then the more that's paid out to the traders, which itself sort of feeds on that virtuous circle, right? That's really... And then I think from the standpoint of a trader, the investors, the product we sell him. A lot of people think that we are, I mean, obviously we carry asset management permissions, But just like, well, basically, we investors are the product that we sell our traders, because the more investors there are, the more appealing our offering is. And we see our job as getting the trader as much capital as his strategy can handle. This is the concept of capacity, which many people don't really know, but it's basically saying, okay, your strategy can take 50 million. Our job is to get you those 50 million the minute you've proven that you really are fit for it for them. That's the mission statement, right? I mean, every trader should get the capital he deserves.
Oh, I like that. That's a good answer. How do you facilitate the relationship between the traders and the investors? Give us an idea of what does that look like. So Tom kind of explained it, but are you basically saying, here's the trader, let's call it Trader Austin. Austin is over there trading a $100,000 account. His strategy is scalable to let's say 50 million, as you just said. How do you facilitate that relationship?
Okay. Well, the answer is we don't. So it's like, if we had to facilitate the relationship, that would mean the trader would have to get involved in the thing, which A, defeats his purpose, because normally traders like to trade. and then the other one is the way the setup works, and I can explain that if you have the patience for that, is we extend our regulatory umbrella so that the traders get paid as if they were managing the capital, but we have attracted that capital, and there's no, as a matter of fact, we turn the traders into a ticker. So the investors don't really know necessarily who the trader is behind that. And the investors have no contractual relationship, and this is very important with the trader either. So that the trader sells us his trading. In doing so, he stays away from the regulation required to manage third-party money, which is a portfolio management license. And then what we do is we take that strategy, we package it up in a way such that the investors do not know, and this is key, the investors do not know what's in it, because if they knew, they could bypass paying the success fee. And that basically turns us into the trader that's facing the investors. So really, from the standpoint of the investors, legally, we are the trader. Legally, the buck stops with us. And what we do is we source as many good traders as we can. And then the investors come in and say, okay, this trader, which we call a Darwin, because it tracks the evolution of a guy's track record, I can buy, just like I could buy stocks on the New York Stock Exchange. And as a matter of fact, the name DarwinX stands for the Darwin, which is the Chinese exchange. So basically, the investors come to an exchange and they buy talent, really, because that's the asset that we package. So to come back to you, so we raise the investors. I think one important point that Tom mentioned is that it's a lot easier to build credibility when you've gone with a promise for multiple traders than you would as somebody who's starting the game anew. So in this, there are platform economies in the sense that the game of fundraising is one that there's no need to reinvent that, right? I mean, there's so many analogies in this. Imagine somebody who just brought his first book and set up a publishing house to sell it. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, right?
Right.
And yet that's the way the investment world works, right? I mean, you come up with a strategy and then you go, okay, I'm going to set up my own fund to manage my strategy. It's like, well, surely the reason that is because there's a lot of people that thrive in, you know, there's a lot of lawyers who thrive in that. There's a lot of money to be made from you before you get to that point. But that's the gap that we saw in the market, right? There's no online platform where you can go and sell your Kindle in a way. And that's what we've done here. We've created an exchange that packages trading strategies in a way that's investable, and we can get onto that, so that we build investor trust, and then that investor trust, we actually sell it to the traders, because that's how we make our money.
What's up, traders? A quick break from today's podcast to thank our sponsor, TradeZilla. If you don't know who TradeZilla is, they are the number one trade tracking software in the world. And I'm very grateful to be partnered with them and to have them as our sponsor because it actually has made a difference in my trading and in our mentorship students who get access to TradeZilla. So now as a listener of the podcast, you guys can save 10% on your monthly or your yearly membership with them if you just use the link in the discount code down below. So thank you to Umar and the team for being our sponsor. Again, super grateful there. And I think everyone listening, if you haven't tried out this tracking software, please just go give it a try for a month. You'll never leave. The way that it presents the data, the ease of use, and the actual improvements you can make from studying your own data makes it a no-brainer. It's affordable. It'll make you more money. What are you waiting for? Link is in the description. Save 10% if you use the code down below. Now let's get back to the video.
Do you have more traders or more investors on the platform?
Well, I mean, we have more traders than we have investors. We obviously have a lot more investors than we have good traders. So that's the balance here. And like professional sports, we basically make our reputation with the great traders, and we make our money with the ones who want to become great, right? So you, Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi, does not pay you for his shirts, but the fact that Messi wears those shirts makes a lot of people buy them in the first place, and that's how Adidas pays the bills, right?
That is it.
That is it. A lot of analogies can be drawn to what you guys have kind of done with this business model in the market. It's very, very cool. Tom, did you have a question you wanted to chop in with?
Yeah, so I was just going to say, can you just explain to the listeners how like the sort of the pay structure works? How do you keep yourself happy, the trader happy, and the investors happy?
Standard hedge fund charges used to charge 2% management fee and 20% success fee. So what we do is we offer the investor a hedge fund-like structure where they pay 20% for success and 1.2% management fee. So what we try and do is finance our own company with the management fee, which we keep, and then we collect the 20% from the investor and pay out net 15% to the trader, meaning that's what he gets. It's basically, you don't have to run the thing that kind of gets you the money, and we introduce you the investors, so we bring them, that he's paying for the sales process, and he's paying for the platform that allows him to legally do that without actually having to do anything other than trading. So the split is, we charge investor 20%, we keep a quarter of that, 5%, and we pay out 15% out to the trader. That's how it works.
And what's the difference between Darwin X and Darwin X Zero? Because I feel like that's right. One of the differences is in the pay structure there too, right? Like how the trader.
Well, okay. Yeah. So let's get back into that. The thing is, of course, until the strategy becomes investable, like a serious investor will not invest in strategies with less than, at the very least, 2, typically 3 to 4 years of a tracker. And that's because everybody can get lucky for a couple of years. Okay, then he could be just like unlucky for the market environment or just, but there's all sorts of things, but like very few strategies stand the test of more time than that. Okay. So, and then of course, there's all these people in Lamborghinis and so on that are promising how to get rich next month and so on. And it's kind of lonely from the point where you start with the long term in view and until you get to the point where investors are actually getting to that. And that in itself is a bit like ketchup. You have to hit the bottle a lot of times, nothing comes out, and then boom, it goes, right? But it takes time. So, and you asked me because of Darwin X and Darwin X Zero. So the core difference, I mean, the only difference really is that Darwin X Zero is with a Z. It's a bit like Coke Zero. It's basically that the way to start with zero risk and zero commitments. So the idea is we have built a subscription product where people are not trading live capital. The idea here is rather than start with a live account before they know what they're doing and blow that account and their hopes with it, the best thing is to say, for as long as I don't know whether I'm, you know, the return of capital is sort of in the bag, I should better start by paying a subscription, which is we price at €38 per month. $38 actually in the US, in the course. Yeah, so you start by that and gradually you're building a track record with a view to being investable 2-3 years down the line, okay? Now, all of Darwin X is designed as a ladder whereby the more promising the track you accrue, the more money is paid out to you. And of course, as I said, in the first 2 or 3 years, no real investor money is going to attract you because that's just the way the world works, right? So what we do is part of our revenues, and I'll explain how we make our money in a second, is we devote to paying out to those that are doing well, that are showing promise. Good. So the idea is you start with 38 euros, you cap your downside until you know that you can sort of guarantee the return of capital. And the minute you have visibility that you can produce return on capital, hopefully we will have paid you enough so that you can fund your first brokerage account. Okay. And at that point, what used to cost you 38 euros to cap the downside becomes a live brokerage account. Like the 38 euros is DarwinX Zero. The live brokerage account is with DarwinX. So all that we offer with DarwinX Zero, we offer for free if you trade a live account with us. But we only encourage you to trade a live account once you know how to do it, to guarantee return of capital, because those are the stages. Like first stage is do not blow your account. Second stage is sort of break even. And then gradually, as you learn, produce return on capital once guaranteeing the return of capital. And as you keep doing that long enough for enough months, then you come out of the end of the tunnel. And at that point, the turbo of the investors comes in.
It makes perfect sense. And we see, I mean, Tom and I, through the mentorship and the coaching that we've done with traders over the last couple of years, that's the same progression we see traders come, right, Tom? They struggle, they lose money at first, they get to that break even where they're winning and losing, and then they finally break through where they're winning more than they're losing. I think that is the typical progression of most traders. When traders come to the platform, before we go into the pay structure, and let's say they move into DarwinX and they start to scale, do they know how much money is being invested into them, or is that kept in the dark?
No. So like everybody knows from day one that the capital that they see. I mean, they know each user in DarwinX can double both as a trader and as an investor.
Okay.
Another difference between a prop. Our setup is open. The exchange is open because anybody can be both a trader as well as an investor. So if you can't beat the top traders, at least you can invest in them. Until you beat them, you can invest in them or you can diversify.
That's cool. So what would be the minimum investment to follow a Darwin?
200 euros.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's so cheap.
So everything we do is designed, and this actually gives us trouble. And we have regulators thinking that we charge 200 euros to lure people into bad products. And as a matter of fact, the reason we keep it so low, which is sometimes to our disadvantage in a number of ways, is because we believe in a world where the rich do not get richer just because they start rich. Okay, so you can't invest in the world's best hedge funds today because you're too retail for those.
Right.
And our goal is to create something that's available to everybody. And may the best make the most out of it. So it's not that merit, it's a meritocracy in that way.
Yeah.
But the minimum investment is 200 euros, yes.
That's amazing. Isn't it, Tom? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think it's a great business model for all, as long as you've got that long-term vision.
That bit is about Mrs. Mull, by the way, because like for us to onboard a user, it costed like 40 or 50 bucks. If somebody only invested 200 euros and they come and they do something stupid, and they
there's no money.
Unfortunately, they cost us money, but we think our vision is worth paying for.
On your Darwin Zero product, can you talk to people about the allocation side of things? What's the allocation that you can
So, just to sum up, I think the idea is, like, as you said, you know, for as long as you're in the kind of losing capital side of things, cap your downside to 38 bucks. Once you know what you're doing, then you trade with our broker or with Interactive Brokers. It's not going to cost you, like, and the capital allocation process and the entire thing is not going to cost you anything extra. And the 15% is kind of net for you. Okay. So now, how do you get to the point where you're successful? What is the job of a successful hedge fund manager? If you break it down to the pieces, is build a track record that stands out, and then compete with other alternative investment options for your investor to attract the investor capital. And once you've got the investor capital, grow it for a share of the upside. Okay, so the thing is land capital, grow capital, repeat. A bit like Karate Kid. That's basically the idea. So everything we do is designed to do that. Now, as I said, before the first 3 years, when the actual capital really can start flowing in, you kind of have to cross the desert. And what we do is we define challenges, which are monthly, that replicate the basic functioning, which is on any given month, you compete for a virtual capital allocation. And if you stand out from the crowd in that month, then you land that allocation, and we can get back to what those allocations are. And then you're given time to grow the allocation and paid 15% of what you grow in that period. And this thing is, as I said, repeat and repeat and repeat. So basically, you start at months, say, let's say we were in May. So you start in May, you stand out at the end of May, you receive an allocation which starts on the 1st of June. And then you have in the silver category, because we have the flavors, in the silver category, you have 3 months to grow that allocation. So let's say you receive 100,000 euros to trade on the 1st of June. You've grown that by, say, 4% by the end of September. And then you keep 15% of the upside in there. Now, 15% of 4% would be 60 basis points. So that would be, in this case, 600 euros for that allocation, which pays for like more than an entire year of a subscription. And then the next month, it starts over again. So you can... you can accumulate the capital. At some point, you would basically have your allocation for the May issue, for the June issue, for the July issue, and you keep compounding. And as you do, obviously, your track record gets longer. Your odds of landing capital become higher. And the idea is, at first, this cost you $38. As soon as possible, it costs you nothing because you make more back than you paid into it. Then hundreds per year, then thousands per year, then hundreds per month, thousands per month. 10,000 per month up to currently the top guy stands to make give or take $1 million per year with 31 million of investment.
Wow.
And growing, because the beauty in what we do, of course, is that we've built this trust factory that everybody contributes to, because you're showing that retail traders are actually not mentally retail, just they are financially retail, but that's got nothing to do, right? So you contribute to that credibility and you benefit from the ones that have been for you, because of course, once we've convinced a professional hedge fund allocator, which we have, to basically invest in the top guy, it's a lot easier to say, well, by the way, there's more where this guy came from, and that kind of grows, right? So we're growing, the asset under management in the platform are also growing quite a bit, yeah.
That's impressive. It really, it means.
So Tom, that's answered the question. I mean, the idea is basically you're going to stand out from the crowd, land the allocation, grow the allocation, repeat, and month after month after month with reasonable performance goals.
Yeah, it does. I think it's great. I think it gives a whole different perspective than I think we've previously been used to from some funding companies in the past. And it, like I say, it's a completely different model. And I think it's a great way to give people a longer term perspective and see what is actually possible if you have that sort of delayed gratification and take this as serious as it should be taken.
But I was going to say, in today's day and age, you have so many people that are short-term gratification focused, short-term attention span. Do you find that it's some, especially maybe to the younger generation, that it's a hard sell?
I think, Darwin is a bit like Marmite, right? You love it and you hate it. That's just fine. I mean, like in the end, that's part of this Darwinian selection. I mean, there's enough people who learn that the shortcut just doesn't exist. I mean, if it did exist,
that's what I was going to say. You were there
already. So it's like,
exactly. So let me ask you this one. Do you have someone at the company who is like customer relations in the sense that that person is meeting with the top traders and continuing to build the relationship with those top traders? Is that you?
Yes.
So that's good. And I think that's what Ignacios mentioned to me, is that you were kind of traveling around and you have met with some of the guys. I want to ask you some questions about the top traders, because I think that's what our listeners who are not on the platform already will take motivation from. They'll hear some of the success that these guys are having, and that is what hopefully will motivate guys to try out the platform. What would you say are some of the common characteristics of the top traders on the platform? Like, why are they at the top, in your opinion? Just when you're sitting around with the team and you're talking about it, like, why is this guy number one so many months in a row? What is it about him or her?
Okay, well, let's get into it. I'll get onto that. But first, I like to start with the whole motivate people to join the platform. I think what should motivate people to the platform is the same thing that should motivate people to join the markets. And that should be that you love it. Okay, that's the only motivation. If you try and do it because you're going to make money, then you're in for a rough ride. I think that.
Right. And especially because it takes so long to build this track record. Yeah, you really can't get into this for the money short term, because the money's going to come long term.
Yeah. Well, actually, but even then, I think the reward is the journey, right? I think it's the person I'm saying, okay, I've kind of And it goes back to the point that I just mentioned. So the first thing that's kind of common about those guys is that money is not a goal, but validation that they're on the right path. Okay, so it's a kind of an outside validation factor that their self-improvement process is working. And that brings me to what I think makes this guy stand out. It's kind of taking a brutally hard outside in view to what an investor would think about what they're performing and basically say, okay, you're going to improve this, improve that, knowing that the little things will add up, compound over time and get you to where you are. So I think it's this kind of, and then you see things like meditation, journaling. I mean, it's just general self-awareness. Different people get the self-awareness in different ways. It involves a lot of trial and error. It can get quite bloody. until you get there. But I think, you know, there's many ways to skin a cat.
Yeah.
But I think you will only skin it if you only ever repeat, do mistakes once. Because you have to do every mistake. But you have to survive it first, and then you can't repeat that particular mistake, right? And for that, you need self-awareness. I mean, it's not different from any performance activity because that's really what it is. I mean, that's the thing. It's a competition where it's kind of the highest stakes game there is. Of course, people don't see it for what for a game, but that's what it is. I mean, like, and then to come back to give you some color, currently the top trader was the world's best player of World of Warcraft. And because he played that from 13 to 23 until his mom dragged him out of basically the room where he was locked in day and night and said, my son, you have to go to university. And he did go to university. He said, like, what's this other game where the kind of these charts move up and down? And, you know, he's now managing 30 million.
That's crazy. So, World of Warcraft, 30 million, Tom.
Yeah.
There's hope. Yeah.
That's incredible. So can I ask this, Juan? Are they on the top traders on the platform? Majority men, majority women, what age, any demographic numbers you can give us and stuff like that? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'd love it to be different, but I think this is primarily a male thing, or at least a male coded algorithmic thing. So you see, like, I think that more and more it's algorithms and they're typically coded by men. And this is observations. I'm not making any judgment calls here.
Sure.
In terms of age, I mean, zero, of course, it depends because, like, it takes time to do the journey, right? So it's going to take you, like, the top guys will have hit the wall for a number of years before they got to the point there. But I think there's kind of, obviously, it's getting younger to the extent that more and more people learn about the fact that they can try the markets earlier in their lives. And I don't know, I mean, you know better than me, right? But, like, I think most of the good traders I've spoken to, it's like, when did you start this out? It's like, you know, I was 15 and then I saw something and I just couldn't keep my eyes off it. And then ever since, it was kind of recurring themes, and they go through iterations of doing that. So I think, I guess it's getting younger because, you know, I think we live in a world now where you're exposed to the different possibilities earlier in life than before.
You know what that made me think of, Tom? So Juan, Tom and I are both relatively new fathers, and my son will take my phone and he literally can't talk, and he will hold the phone and be on FaceTime with my mother. So you think about how young that type of, like, the young generation now will use technology and how long they could be involved in markets and be like, my kid will be 8 years old looking at charts because dad's looking at it. So how long does it take him to become successful is different than me and vice versa. So it's very true. The technology creates this, like, parabolic curve of, like, you know, shortening the barriers and the time for entry. It's super interesting.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like short, I mean, which is another way of saying, like, up to now, the time it took to run a hedge fund, if you were born in some place in India, was infinite, because you'd be dead by the time, you know, you even knew that it happened. And what internet has done is shortened that lifespan so that more people can actually even do it before they're dead. So that's why there's lots of people doing it, and there wasn't
exactly
younger and younger. So yeah, it's kind of leveled the playing field in the sense that everybody can do it, but I think there's stuff that remains. I mean, I always do this analogy. because I think it's quite a valid one, in that the first 10 winners of the Wimbledon tennis tournament were noble. And of course, those guys thought that it took nobility to be a good tennis player. But it's like, well, you know, who else would win it if only the noble are playing it, right? Yeah. And I think that's that kind of the switch that has to happen, right? Like for people to realize that, what is this retail thing? I mean, I hate the bloody word. I mean, this is a retail trader. It's like, I mean, I actually take it as an insult, right? I'm like, it's like, you know, just judge people by what they're capable of, not by how rich the daddy was or, you know, where they come into the world. So, yeah. Sorry. I mean,
that's a great analogy, though. I never knew that about the first 10. Did you know that, Tom, about the Wimbledon winners?
No, that's good. I kind of made it up. And maybe it wasn't like first 10.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It makes sense, though. It's like if that's the only group that's allowed to play, of course, it's going to create a barrier. So, no, it makes perfect sense. When back to the questions about the common characteristics amongst these traders and stuff, what markets are they trading, the ones that are attracting the most capital? Is it futures, Forex, and how long are they typically trading? Are they swing traders? Are they day traders?
Yeah, so I mean that brings us to the whole. We've traditionally offered CFD, and the reason we offer CFDs is not because it's like some people call it cash for dealers, because that's basically like the house always wins situation. Yeah. But because if somebody has like 40 algos that they want to trade in futures, and $1 million, there's no way they're going to put the 40 best players on the pitch. Whereas with a CFD, you can do that. Okay. So we traditionally come from the background of CFDs, typically index and commodity CFDs, as well as currencies. And that's where our guys have cut their teeth. We're now, after several years of massive investment, we're now opening up the platform to single stock traders, starting with the top 800 US stocks. We also now support futures trading. As a matter of fact, I'm sort of going to say that by the time that this goes live, people will already know that there are futures on Darwinex Zero.
Nice.
So, that's what we are. I mean, I think options is another place where people make good money. It's just the way our setup works with this risk management technology that we've got, that becomes a lot more complex. And also options are less liquid than what I just mentioned. So
for sure, totally different instrument. Are most of these guys, are they, when they're trading these contracts, the CFDs or even the futures, are they swing traders? Are they day traders? What do you, scalpers? Like, do you have a mix of everything?
I mean, we have the whole thing. And again, it's just like, there's many ways to skin a cat as long as you skin it.
For sure.
So I think it's easier. Well, I don't think, I know it is easier to make 20% on 100,000 than it is to make 20% on 1 million, which in turn is a lot easier than 10 million and so on. So there are capacity hurdles, and many of the strategies are capacity constrained. So they are quite profitable, but they will not scale beyond a couple of million, which is what makes it more valuable.
So if people are looking, starting out in this industry, they want to look to grow and they're starting relatively small, but they've got this dream of they want to manage 10 million. What are some of the capacity reasons that they won't be able to scale up or some shortfalls from their current strategy for getting to that bigger money?
Well, actually, that's a very, very good point, because I've met a lot of people thinking that they've hit on the ultimate money-making machine, and they have hit on a consistent percentage money-making machine, but it's not that that's going to scale. And also, for instance, in currencies, people who trade the night session, the Asian session, I mean, that's basically something that dealers typically keep artificially alive. There's no volume. There are books that people are putting in place to basically take the other side and provide liquidity. The minute you start getting big, they will basically withdraw that liquidity, the spread widens, and your edge goes. So that's a very classic one. Another one is the 5 minutes after market open strategy. Where again, this is just like artificially tight spreads that the, and we can go into that it warrants another podcast. But basically, anything that trades at exotic times is bound to be low capacity. It's probably it's basically playing an arbitrage opportunity. Even if you don't know what you're doing, it's basically this opportunity that, you know, the real price of the market is here. Somebody is offering a tighter spread because they're interested in getting people to trade there, and you figured out how they do that. But that's not really the real market. It's just like this thing. Other strategies would be like scalping. If you know a slippage of 0.1 pips or 0.2 pips eats away into your edge, then as you scale, that slippage is going to kick in, and once that's kicked in, then your edge is gone. I mean, you will have made. It's a bit like, I think of it as there's a set of money that you're harvesting, but you should look at the absolute amount that you're harvesting as opposed to the percentage amount relative to your own capital. Because if you're good, then eventually the capital will come and it's really a question of what is the amount of the dollar amount that you can pick out of that. Not sure, did that answer the question, Tom?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think like this was one of the things when I started looking into Darwin X and building track records about just how it's a completely sort of different skill and that there's so much more to factor in than just percentage returns. That's like just a tiny, tiny piece of the pie is how much have you made each year? Like how have you made it's important? How much have you risked? What's your drawdowns? Like there's so many different things to take in when you look at it at a deeper level of what building a track record is all about and what trading is all about.
Yeah, well, I think it's two things, right? Well, like there's only two things. One is obviously return adjusted for risk to a certain capacity. I mean, I think those are the three parameters that you have to do. Then you have to all sorts of variations around that. And in the end, it's producing risk adjusted return that scales. I mean, that's in a nutshell, that's what it is. Because that's the real market. I mean, that's how it works. I think when you mentioned all these prop firms, and that's basically an artificial fish tank that's been created for the benefit of the promoters of the fish tank, but it's not the real market. So, yeah.
I think the most interesting thing you just said there for me, Juan, is about the Asian session market and these lower, you know, the more drier liquidity periods of what's going on there. I think that's very interesting for traders to hear, because I've got guys that I've talked to in the mentorship that are trying to exploit the Asian session and tell me why they think that's the best session to trade. And I've never felt that way. So it makes a lot of sense the way you described how it operates and why that it does what it does in that period where there's just no volume. And I think that's super interesting.
Of course, any money you can make, if you know how to do it, then why not take it, right? But I don't think you should be under the illusion that you're going to be able to scale that much, because you won't.
Yeah, you won't. Yeah. Do you find that amongst the top traders, there are like very clear specifics that they track of the metrics that Tom mentioned? Meaning, are they very cognizant to not risk a certain amount per month? Like, let's say they take a 5% drawdown in a month. Do they stop trading? Do you have anything that you could share with the audience to say, hey, if you're trying to be like our top traders, do this. If you make 10%, stop. If you lose 5%, stop. If you're winning at a lower percentage than maybe X amount, you should stop. Do you have any guidance that you could give to the guys that want to become like the top traders? And I know you said we all know there's a million ways to skin a cat. I'm just looking for more standout statistics, if anything you've noticed.
Yeah, I'm not pretty myself, so I'm not going to pretend to know all the rest of this. I mean, I know my expertise isn't everything that happens after you've clicked the buttons. I think the one thing I can say is that, well, it's two things really. Again, I speak about my analogies, and since we're talking about tennis and I'm Spanish, right? I think so. Rafael Nadal once said, and I think he's kind of, this is quite true. It's like the difference between a good player and a great player is that a great player wins the matches that he plays like shit. And I think in when it comes to trading strategies, that, and you can see that in the platform. And I encourage anybody to just sign up, or you can open a demo account. You can basically see that strategies have periods where they struggle and then periods where they do very well. And the problem is that you don't know which period you're in until you're in it. So I think the best you can do is kind of keep going at it and then designing the strategy in a way such that when you struggle, you don't lose much and you sort of hang in there. But then you're set up in a way such that when it goes well, it goes very well. And for instance, if you look at the top trader, that's what he does. I mean, when the volatility regime goes in his favor, he's going to make a killing. When the volatility is more muted, he's not going to make a killing, but he's not going to kill himself.
Right.
I think that's the edge. Keeping your powder dry and surviving for a better day is the...
Surviving.
And then, of course, improvements, because that's the outcome. That's kind of the result. So the process is find this bit here, that bit there, that's going to add either to less downside or more upside.
Tom and I hosted a seminar in London. We do it every year. And we pulled up some of the statistics from your top traders just to discuss with the people at the seminar the power of building a track record and why it's important, especially when you're trying to treat this business like a professional. And one thing that we found really interesting was your top guy faced how many months, Tom? 14 months of drawdown at one point, but he stuck in and then he came out on top and crushed it when he came out of that period with a couple of double digit months after that. So I think in those periods of time, do you see investors lose interest in that trader, or do you see the investors stay?
What are you going to do? The short term lure is not there just for traders, right? It's for everybody. So they come in and hoping that, and then we have many world's greatest experts at buying a trader in a high and selling him low. And then it's
the I'm sure.
But coming back to our point, I mean, this is one of the reasons why we track the amount of money we pay traders, because it's not just about the AUM, it's about how the AUM do it, because they can come in and out any time. So you have a lot of people who basically buy the high, eat up capacity, they sell the low, they pay no success fees, and the trader will end up winning. And that is a big issue, I mean, for us. So
I can imagine. I think what's funny about that and why I laugh is just because, you know, it, whether it's the trader or the investor, the psychology is the same. Holding on and sticking through the drawdown is the hardest part of everybody. We talk about Amazon during the tech bubble. It lost 92% of its value when the bubble crashed. But look at Amazon now. You know what I mean? If the guys that would have held in through that pullback long term, they win. So it's still that tried and true investor philosophy of time in the market beats trying to time the market, right?
Yeah, well, time in the right guy. So if you found the right guy, and as a matter of fact, I mean, I think personally, I've seen that. And I think that's one of the dangers, like one of the downsides to our platform is that from a regulatory standpoint, we are barred from giving a lot of background on the person that's behind the strategy. And I think knowing the person makes it so much easier to,
of course,
watch them.
But are a lot of your guys on social media, like your top traders, I don't know if they're like popular, they're not.
No, they like trading.
They like trading. That's all.
Yeah. So like anytime spent in social media, I mean, they might track social media, but like anytime spent in social media is time wasted for improving their edge. So yeah.
That's like the most valuable thing you might have said the whole episode right there, Juan, for anybody listening. Like, get off social media, because those guys usually on social media, there's very few really good traders on social media. That's what I think. Some of them, like I think of like the guys I've had on my podcast before you on, like I've had some guys who have a track record of 10, 15, 20 years of performance, and they're on social media, but they're not on it every day, all day. And more importantly, like you mentioned, they're not flexing their lifestyle to try to attract more money. They're just focused on their own trading. They barely sell anything. Maybe they write a book, something like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a level of giving back, and which I think is genuine. And I think one of the good things that we can bring to the table is that people can use their profile to lend their social profile credibility, right? Because all these self-appointed experts. I mean, it's like there's a lot of them.
It's a big pool. What made me think of one, are you kicking traders off the platform who are not performing well? Let's say you have a guy. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, no. So, okay, again, it's the Darwin Exchange. So like every life form has a chance to make it, and then they can continue there until they are. As a matter of fact, I think, again, it's just like the one thing that baffles me after all these years is how people have a certain reality that they know for a fact that works in a certain way. For instance, riding a bicycle. Do you ever know a Tour de France winner who hasn't fallen off his bicycle?
It's true.
Right? I mean, surely himself. Broken a couple of teeth, like everyone
else. Oh my God, yeah. That's what I'm saying, 100%. Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, is he a loser? Because no, he's just like, he's learning the ropes until he gets there, right? So this is the thing. It's like, there's a lot of people down there where, again, you just gotta go through the, and I do this a lot. I mean, people can reset or restart the track with us. And I think that's the worst thing you can do. Because when I see as an investor, somebody who started here, gone down, and broken even and then gone up, and it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna jump in now because I know this guy is not kind of putting up here whichever I go over, like you've been the last 3 years, right? You can produce 500. Now this is the guy who stuck with it. He's only got one strategy, and that's the one he's been pushing for quite some time. So why would we take that guy out? Who are we to take that guy out of the thing if the guy's doing it because he loves it? I mean, he deserves, I mean, we offer him the stuff, and he can always try and be his better trader, even if that's not a great trader. So
it's a great point. Tom, do you feel like people in our community will be interested in this? Or do you think that people are so short-sighted that they're going to put this to the back burner probably for too long? What's your thoughts on that?
No, I think there will be a portion of people that will be interested in this. Absolutely. I think it just gives a completely different other option to what's out there at the moment. And again, for me, it's just something that if you love trading, why would you not? Even if you're just doing this in the background for 2, 3, 4 years until you're getting to where you want to get to. I just don't see there being any downside to not building a track record.
That's what I'm saying.
I personally don't get why everybody's not trying to do it, because even whatever you're trying to achieve, building a track record gives you so much credibility in a world where not many people can do it.
Exactly.
So one very different. Just
yeah, I mean, I think it's like I'm saying, right? I mean, this is like, it's a bit like Marmite. I mean, either you like it or you hate it, right? And then we've had all these discussions where people come to us and say, how is this different from a prop? Well, for starters, it's we've been around for 12 years and we will be around in 12 years, something which these props cannot say, right? Because they weren't around 12 years ago and it will be kind of caught for the scam they are in 12 years from now. So that's kind of a start. And then why do we pay 15% instead of 85%? Well, because no one pays 85%. Okay,
nobody.
You go to the street and you go to, no, unless they're getting somebody like, okay, so there's a bit of bashing, or I'm just going to throw out some questions here and don't get me wrong, right, when I do that. But so imagine you go to a job interview, right? Now, do you pay for job interviews?
No.
Right. So like if this is this prop that's interviewing you, testing you to see if you're a good trader, why do you have to pay them? Right. I mean, this is the
start. That's of, a good question.
At the start of as a pretty awkward interview, right? So, okay, so I have to pay this interview and you say, okay, so what's my salary? Well, your salary is going to be 100 if you pay me 500, but it could be 1 million if you pay me 5,000. It's like, well, this is getting even more interesting, right?
So you first pay to play.
So right, how do you, you know, and where does the money come from? Can you show me the track record that you know that's paying for all these things? So, well, no, it's okay. Well, so maybe it doesn't exist, right? So maybe you're basically collecting all these monies from people that are getting interviewed and paying out those failed interviews to a couple of guys, and then you're calling that a prop, even though it turns out with my Forex funds that there's no money being invested at all, because the only thing that's it's basically it's interview money changing hands, with 95% going to the interviewers and then 5% going to some consolation prize for interviewees. And
that's a really good way to put it when you explain it like that. It's hard to argue.
I mean, to me, that's just what it is, right? I mean,
it is what it
like
is.
Duck, you know, it walks like a duck and then
it is
like
a duck. It's a fucking duck.
So
100%.
And then it's like, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I can't see if it really is what they say it is. It is a job interview, and I have yet to see a job where you're asked to pay for an interview, or your salary depends on what you pay for the interview. And not gonna. Sorry,
that's a great. No. Don't be sorry. It's a great analogy. I think a lot of people can relate to that. Gotta let it out sometimes. 100%. Can you speak on average monthly returns of your best traders? I think that would be really good for the listeners to hear.
Yeah, well, that's another one. So, the World of Warcraft guy has posted, he's got an 8-year track record with about 15% per year compound and a worst drawdown of 16%.
I mean, that's pretty good. I like that you call him the World of Warcraft guy. That's so funny to me.
I love the guy to be. We're friends. I mean, we're actually born on the same day. So I love the guy.
Really? That's weird.
Well, I mean, he's a fair bit younger than me, but same day, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's 15% per year with a 16% drawdown. That's the benchmark.
That's basically the benchmark. I mean, I think the way, and we can get onto that, is the way we control the risk of the strategies, which is something that sets apart, is so that the volatility of the strategies is comparable to the S&P 500. Because the S&P 500 is give or take the worst month every 20, it'll lose 10% on average.
Yeah,
that's kind of the way it works. That I think the Apple stock is more volatile, obviously, because it's just one component of that, and that'll be more like 15% the worst month every 20, right? So, and the way we structure this is that on a the worst month every 20, our traders should not lose more than give or take 10% on average. That's kind of the way it goes, and then typically returns are like between plus, you know, I would have to check numbers like plus minus 3% per month. If that, maybe less.
Yeah.
Because I guess this is that like we're talking about an investment product here. We're not trying to
flip this money. It's not a quick flip. Right. What do you think? So, Tom, when you hear 15% a year, 16% drawdown, to me, I mean, again, if you could do 15% a year and scale that, it's incredible. You know what I mean? Especially put aside the fact that that World of Warcraft guy probably has a lot of free time, even though he's managing a lot of money and working on his edge. Well, he bought himself time free. No, you're going to say no, he's obsessed with trading and he doesn't leave his house, right?
I mean, it's extremely hard, right? And I think he's now scaling. I mean, I think to me, one of the most gratifying things is like what used to be a solo guy now trading clean. And those guys, they're 30 now, so they've got their entire lives ahead of them, right? So like, this is only the beginning of where they're going. And to me, it's, I think one of the biggest prides for us as a company, we're not just founders, is that the guy is shit scared of what would happen if we weren't there. and to me, that's pride, right? Because like somebody will miss you if you're not there. And by the way, we're not planning on going anywhere. So by the way, it's on that aside, like we're founder led and managed and controlled, right? So we haven't taken out any kind of institutional capital that would force us out of the company and something. If not post quarters. So yeah, I mean, I think that's, but honestly, there's nothing really, I mean, what baffles me the most is that this is exactly like any other activity where lots of people are competing at the highest possible level. I mean, it's the very same thing as elite sports. It's just that up to now, it was only the old boys that played it. And now you can also play it online, but it's the same thing. I mean, there's no secrets to it. It's just like, you know, you get what you put into it is what you get out of it. Plus a component of talent. And again, and that's the other bit, the joy of it is like, I mean, imagine what would happen if people only played Wimbledon, they only played tennis because they could win Wimbledon. I mean, like I go around, there's plenty of courts where people are playing tennis with no aspiration other than having fun playing tennis, right? No one's telling them, all of these guys at Busek, he's not winning Wimbledon. It's like, yeah. And yet a trader is a failure because, you know, he doesn't start winning. And then he's a loser because he's not the world's best trader. So, well, you know, that's why I come back to the thing. You should do it because you like it. And, you know, that getting paid for it is the icing on the cake, of course, because you get to do more of it. Right. But that's the thing, you know, he gets to do more of it just to prove to himself that he's getting better because that's what he loves. It's not the money. I mean, the money is great because you have to, I mean, you could have, there is no such thing as money problems, but there is not having money problems, right? So, but the minute that you are in a situation where you don't have no money problems, the money is just, you know, for me, my job is not a job. I mean, like I come into the office and it's like, what would I do if I made a lot of money, which I haven't yet? I would go into the office because that's what I like, right? I mean, building a team, seeing the people around you grow and fucking up, learning from it and getting better, right? I mean, yeah.
The Kaizen process right there, right, Tommy? That's exactly what it is. Last question for you, Juan. I appreciate this time, man. This has been great. And I think it's super insightful because people don't know enough about this. And I think this is going to be a good kick in the door down to get hopefully some more good traders coming to your platform. What advice would you say to the young trader when you're out walking through the airport and you sit down next to a kid and he's a aspiring young trader, 20, 21, 22. What advice do you give those guys?
Well, okay. So first, it's related. So the reason why many people know about this is because there's a lot of people who thrive in opacity. There's a lot of lawyers who are going to ask you for a lot of money to set up yet another hedge fund. There's a lot of props who are going to promise you yet another 85% payout. There's all sorts of snake oil salesmen out there that are going to promise you there is a shortcut. And they're going to tell you that it's you're going to get rich quick. And the minute you do something because you want to get rich quick, you're already poor because you're chasing something which is A, unlikely to happen. And
right, not real.
It's not worth it because like what you enjoy about it is the process of getting there. And I think it's like you really love this thing. Just, you know, give it a go. And as Tom was saying, just be accountable to yourself first and foremost, that the track record is not for investor consumption. The track record is for your own personal consumption. I mean, one thing, I've got this Garmin watch here and they've got this great mantra, which is beat yesterday, right? It's Garmin is beat yesterday. And that's the idea, right? And they don't build these things for, I mean, I've got this one, it's just 8 years old now. And I love it. It works just like the same day. And then, you know, my thing is like, every time I go out for a jog and I see my BO2 up one bit, makes me happy as a cricket, even though I'm probably like a disgrace when I'm touring. And mind you, I used to be a great swimmer, so I'm good at that. But like when I go jogging and I see my VO2 at like 53, I think it is right now. I mean, I feel like king of the world. I mean, that's, yeah. So, and that's the thing. And I look at my track record and it's gone up. I mean, do I compare that with the world's best marathon guy? Well, no. So not going to happen for me. I mean, I went swimming because I was flat footed. So, but yeah, I'm getting better, right? And that's the thing for the guy in the airport is like, son, do it because you love it and see how far you get, but enjoy every day of it.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Great advice. All right. So let's do this. Juan, where should we send everybody that listened to this episode? Should we send them to DarwinX, DarwinX Zero? Where do you think is the best place for them to land?
I think the best place to go is to DarwinX Zero because that's the kind of most obvious thing, especially potentially the leaderboard because that's the other beauty of it is the World of Warcraft guy is there alongside with the guy who just started because no one gets kicked out. It's really the Darwinian selection, but everybody gets a shot at it. And check it out. Try it out. I mean, it doesn't really cost much. I mean, there's not much lost of it. And I'm sure there's many people here who pay Netflix but haven't watched it for a while. So at least I do. And they just get the hang of it. Because really what you're doing, as Tom was saying, is all you have to do is trade. I mean, if you're trading anyway, might as well just do it and build a track record. But there's no, I can't really see what's the downside to it. Of course, I'm biased because, you know, I'm the guy who built this thing and I stand to make money if this goes ahead, but I think the beauty in it is that we all, and that's, I think, the one difference between us and the other stuff that's out there is that this is a collective win-win where everybody contributes what they've got and everybody benefits from everyone else's contribution, right? Like, you know, the best traders put in their stuff, the investors come in because they want to make money, but that itself attracts even better traders and provides an incentive for everybody to get better, which brings more investors, and then we all grow with it. And as I said, our core metric is the amount of money we pay traders, because that's the amount of value we've created for both traders and investors, and we try and kind of capture a part of the value we create.
I love it. So we'll send everybody to DarwinX Zero. Everybody, if you listen this far through the episode, you've got to set yourself up to try this out. I think it's a no-brainer. So for now, Juan, I think we'll put a pin in it. We should let everybody know that we will be hosting a webinar together on April 20th, I think is the date that we agreed to. If there's any changes, you guys, I'll put information in the description. I want everybody there. We're going to probably do some more deep dives into some of the top traders, go over the platform, show the back end, go into more stuff, just to get the platform out to more people to show everybody what's possible with DarwinX and with DarwinX Zero. So we'll get that scheduled. We'll get that ready to go. Tom, thank you for making this happen again. Shout out to Tommy for making this whole thing happen, the podcast, the webinar, everything we're going to do with DarwinX. Juan, thank you to you, yourself, your team, Sal, Ignacio, great guys that we got to meet earlier this week. So I'm looking forward to continuing to work together to watch you guys grow and hopefully drive some traffic to the website for you. So thank you. We appreciate you, Tom. Thank you very much. And for our listeners, thank you for staying all the way through. We appreciate you guys very much. Make sure you're subscribed and we'll see you in the next video. Thanks, everybody.